God's richest grace to you as we meditate on his word, and I want to say blessings to you. And I hope this never becomes nonchalant to us. But gathering in Jesus' name is a treasure. It's a blessing. It's how God promises to go to work. And that hymn was a great reminder of what's all going on as we gather in Jesus' name. And God bless you for your faithfulness. And God bless you for because he's gracious and he cares for his people. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today. And I've been thinking about these weeks for sure as time goes on. And today I want to say very clearly what I hope happens. I hope you see something as we drill down into Scripture. I hope you see that God cares for his people and God provides for his people. And he's faithful to his people as we look at what God's word tells us this morning in the story of Joshua. Because we're going to look at that for a minute. I hope you know something. And I hope you know you can have a confidence that the same God who, just as we sang, is the same yesterday, today, and always, will be faithful to you today and tomorrow, just as he was yesterday. And I hope you believe something. I hope you have just an expectation that you expect God to do something good, that you can trust and live your life on that expectation that God is good, not with anxieties, not with fears, but with, as you're going to see, boldness and courage. And let's just pray for a second right now. So Holy Spirit, we pray it and we sing it. You're welcome in this place. And so knit our hearts together and gives us eyes of faith to see you and hearts to receive all the blessings and the gifts that you have for us. And all God's people said, amen. We're in a season called Easter, right? So the white pyramids are on the wall reminding us that Christ is risen. Hallelujah, right? And that there's lasting implications to all that. Because Christ is risen, he stands and he reigns and he rules all things. And he's over all things. And he's seeing all things. And he's knowing all things. And he's watching all things. And he responds to all things and all your prayers, just as he told us in that Bible reading that we read as our gospel reading today. And we're on a season of transitions, aren't we? We're in a season, and we could probably always say that, but we have a Fellowship of Christian Athlete people, but in the sports world, the Lions are, man, if you're a Lions fan, you're thinking, good things are finally going to happen, and we're winning the Super Bowl next year, right, CJ? All right? And if you're into all that, there's hockey playoffs and NBA playoffs. We're in a season of transition in the political realm already. I hate to talk about it, but the presidential debates are on, and it feels like a world wrestling match, right, going on. And the flowers are blooming, the grass is green, and it's going to just be gorgeous outside here. And confirmation this morning, 18 of our students, or junior high students that have grown up at this church, will stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about it. That's a pretty big deal. That doesn't just happen. It takes teaching for sure, but it takes a tremendous amount of support and parental guidance, but also you have a part in that too. That wouldn't happen if a church is not keeping the oars in the water and remembering what the mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And I hope you can have a thankfulness and a praise to God, even if you know zero of the kids who are being confirmed today. Their names are written in heaven, they're baptized in Jesus Christ, and they're publicly making confession of that faith. And we're certainly in a time of transition with me, as I am retiring as your senior pastor in 2 weeks, and we know that there will be somebody else who will take my spot. And it won't be the same, because there's only one of me, praise the Lord, right? But I think the best thing I can do for you is remind you, God is faithful. God is good. He has been, he will be. And I hope you see that. I hope you know it. And I hope you expect what God is going to do. And this morning, I just want to look out with you about a character in the Bible who exemplifies this, whose story shows it. His name is Joshua in the Bible. And if you want to turn with me, we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 1 a little bit later on in the Bible. Well, I won't read it all, but Joshua chapter 1 is on page number 207 in the church Bible, 208, actually 210. All right, you're going to read his story, but Joshua saw some things about God. This is not in that part of the Bible, but if you remember who Joshua is, first of all, his name means Joshua, Yah, means God is our, the Lord is our salvation. Yahweh is our salvation. God is our Savior, and his name becomes little different translations or languages, but he's the namesake of Jesus. Joshua is the same name. God saves. And we know he was a child when he saw Moses stand up to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And he saw Moses lead the children of Israel through the Red Sea, and he walked through that Red Sea. And he was with Moses when God gave the Ten Commandments, received them from on high, and all of that had that happen. And then we know about Joshua that after they received all of this and God says that you're my people and we're going to go and you're going to go into this promised land that I give you and it's going to be good, a land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses said, well, let's send some people in there to scout it out. And remember what happened? 12 men went into the land to do a little reconnaissance mission. And they came back. And Joshua's one of them. And 10 of them came back and said, man, it is great. It's a beautiful land. But there's giants there. It's going to be too hard. There's no possible way we can do it. We're, they said, like grasshoppers compared to them. We're little. We're weak. We're incompetent. We can never do it. And Joshua and his counterpart named Caleb said, it is true. The land is exceedingly great. And the people there are large. There's giants there. That's true. But God has promised us something. God has promised to lead us. God has promised to go before us. And trusting in the Lord, we can do it. And if you remember how the story goes, you can read it in Numbers chapter 14. And if you, I think it's on the screen behind us, behind me, it says in Numbers 14, these are the words of Joshua. Look at the very end of it, verses 8. The Lord delights in us. He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they're bread to us. We're going to eat them up. I love it, right? He does a little trash talking right in the middle of it. And their protection is removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And that's a word of the Lord for us today. You see, there's always two ways of looking at it. And Joshua says, trust in the Lord. See the Lord, what he promises to you. And bank on that. And we're taught that God would keep his promises. And because of a living trust, we're called into action. That faith is not just something to hold in your pocket, but it's something to put your feet forward to and walk in that way. And say, trust God that he will do it. And then later on in the life of Joshua, as he's leading them, if you remember the story, because they disobeyed, they spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, and Joshua was with them, and Moses is leading them. And then they're ready to go into the promised land, and Moses dies, and Joshua will lead his people. And he's now 40 years later, he's about 66, he's still a young man. That's how old I am. That's why I said that. He leads them, and that's the story we're going to look at today. But he fought for the people, and he led them into the promised land. And he was that warrior who overcame all those who opposed God. But he listened, and he followed through. He was faithful, and he was obedient to the Lord. And when he was about to die, this is another 40 years down the road, We read up in his story in Joshua chapter 24, some words, his final words to people. And he says, I'm going to die. And yep, there's a lot of gods. There's a lot of idols you can bow down to. There's a lot of things you can give your life to. Remember what he said? And some of you have it crocheted or cross-stitch on your wall. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua saw something about God. He believed some things about God. He expected some things about God. And this morning, I want to walk through those things with you based on Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And he saw how faithful God is, that God took care of his people through some not good things. If you read the Bible, Stephen said, these were rebellious people. They were stiff-necked, the Bible describes them. That means they would not turn to God. They were hard-headed. They were, I think, German Lutherans. I'm not sure. But I'm just teasing about that. But they didn't want to follow God. And they saw how God was faithful, that Moses was the leader of the people, and that even as Moses was the leader, Joshua at just the right time would take over and lead his people. A faithful God. It's important for you to remember that. I know many of you love me, and I love you. God is faithful. He will bring the right pastor at the right time for us. He's faithful God. And I know I got a note or a little comment from somebody who said, and I know they meant well, but they said, well, Pastor, we'll give the next guy a good chance. I know they meant well, but don't make it conditional. Trust your next pastor that he will teach God's word, that he will lead to the best of his capabilities. Not going to be a perfect man. None of us are. But remember a faithful God who raises up faithful leaders for his people. And you can have a great peace and a great calm about that. Even though we don't know who that person's going to be, it's God is faithful. Even as our confirmands don't know what their years are going to be, and their parents are probably freaking out, right? Just as you did maybe if you had confirmation kids or raised your kids and you finally had to let them go on their own. The Lord is faithful, and he'll do it. We also see what Joshua believed. He saw how faithful God is, and that first key is he believed God's word. Look at the very end of this section that we're going to read, verses Joshua 1, verses 7 through 8. Could you read that aloud with me? I won't read that whole thing, but just verses 7 and 8 here. This is an address that he's going to give to the people of Israel just before they cross the Jordan River. Verse 7, it reads like this. Read it along with me. It says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you." Keep going. "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And Joshua is really saying, listen to God's word. Not just hear it, but listen to it. Let it seep into the very bones of your being. Hear God's word. That's what's sure. Not the leader, although that's important, not the people, although that's important. They're both fallible and they both are fickle and they can make errors and mistakes, but God's word is true. And he's saying, listen to my word and surround yourself with it. And you won't have to be anxious and you won't have to be fearful and you won't have to wonder, is it going to be okay and is it going to be all right? It does not mean it's not difficult. The children of Israel faced many difficulties, and their story is filled with success and their story is filled with failure, just like you and me. But through it all, God was faithful to his word. And I hope you are people who are not afraid to speak God's word to one another. We saw that illustrated in our first reading. Stephen spoke God's word. And what did he get for it? He got stoned. He got killed. He was a martyr who stood for God's word, and people didn't receive it. But we remember his name. We remember him as a hero, for somebody who stood up for what he believed in, and he believed in Jesus Christ. And God accomplished the work for which his word came, even though for Stephen it meant problems. I hope for you, you remember what Paul wrote. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Stephen and you and I, Joshua, we listen to God's word, but we also trust his promises. We trust his promises. In verses 3-5, I'll just read that just a little bit before that. Listen to what he says about God's specific promises. In verse 3, he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. For from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Now, God does not promise us every step along the way will be success. To them he did, although it was through turmoil that it happened. But God does promise us the very last thing that is written there. Did you catch it? I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And I referenced that power of the gospel. I came across an interesting thing called the wind catcher. And we got a picture of it right here. It's Norwegian engineers have developed a generating electricity structure from wind power. And it's not just one big turbine, but it's 126 turbines that is going to be floating on the ocean, anchored to the ocean floor with the same technology that drilling rigs are put out in the ocean. And just to give you perspective, the Eiffel Tower is built right next. No, it's just photoshopped in there. But it's just as tall as the Eiffel Tower and as big as cruise ships. And just to give you an idea of what's going on. Now, it's not built yet. And do you think there might be some problems that need to be overcome? Yeah, I'm sure there will be some things. But when that catches the wind, or if it catches the wind, it will generate some power, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation. I hope you see that and you believe it, that God's word has power for you in your life. Power to strive for the good and the excellent. Power to be noble in this life. Power to resist the easy comeback and cheap shots, the being lazy in life. It's the power of God. That's why Joshua said, be very strong and be courageous. Not foolhardy nor risky, but be courageous about it. He has the power to overcome the devil. Have you ever regret in your life doing the right thing? Did you ever regret doing the right thing in your life? Did you ever look back and repent of doing the wrong thing You see, God says, learn from that. This is the power of God, to walk in his ways, to go forward. And then he also says that he has the power to overcome all the guilt and the condemnation that the devil gives. And the Isaiah passage tells us this is a promise of God, that he will forgive us and he won't push us aside. If you have cast all my sins behind your back, he gives his presence and he gives his courage to each one of you in every situation. And that's why Peter would say, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. That's not just a promise for Joshua. That's a promise for all of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then Joshua lived as God was with him. He obeyed. And if you look at that text again in verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 9, he says, be strong and courageous. It's like he's trying to make a point, right? He's repeating himself because he knew people would need to know that. And in late search, I got the confirmands. I got them learning to ride their bikes, or their parents sending pictures of them riding the bike. And just think about it for a second of when you learned to ride your bike. Do you remember those days? Maybe you had your mom or dad running alongside you, holding on to you, and keeping you from falling until you finally either got going so fast or you didn't need them anymore, and you could what? You could go by yourself. And you got going. And there were probably a few wipeouts along the way, but that wasn't worth comparing to the joy and the excitement and the thrill of riding your bike and being able to be mobile, right? And you loved it. Maybe some of you still do. And probably maybe some of you wanted to go back to your training wheel days. And you still thought, oh, I need that security and I need to go back and put my training wheels on. And finally you realize, nope. They're more hindrance than they are help. And it's the same thing about living in life with God. Yes, he provides and he protects. But he also says, I'll let you make some choices. And trust me. Trust me that I'm going to be with you. You can't determine the outcome, but you can make some choices. And today I pray you will make the choice to trust in the Lord, as the word says, with all your heart. Lean not to the way you think about it. Where God says it, let that be your will. And he'll make your path straight. Amen.